This week's Parsha's Vayera. So we have at least in the very beginning, a seemingly difficult line, especially considering how the last week's Parsha and Shmos ended off. It says in the beginning of Vayera, very beginning, it says that Bnei Yisrael had a very hard time with Moshe Rabbeinu. It says Parak Tvav Pasuk Tes, but Ever Moshe Kain El Bnei Yisrael, Velo Shamu El Moshe Mikotzer Ruach Meavodah Kasha. They couldn't hear Moshe Rabbeinu. They couldn't hear what he had to say. They couldn't hear his message and his dreams of being saved because they were very, very tired. Kotzer ruach. They had limited breath. They had hard work and they couldn't lift Moshe Rabbeinu anymore. Now, to be honest, they've been enslaved for a long time. And last week's parsha, Moshe Rabbeinu told them Hashem is going to save them. They had a vision. They had a mesorah that whoever comes and says Pakod Yifkod, Pakod Pakadati, that means that he's really the savior, and Moshe Rabbeinu gave that special line, and it says the words, they believed in Moshe Rabbeinu. Lashon over here in last week's Parsha. Perek Dalid, Pasuk Lamed Aleph, V'yamein Ha'am. They believed. V'yishmu'u el kipakad Hashem b'nei Yisrael. They heard now, they understood that Hashem had redeemed b'nei Yisrael. What happens? A few Pesukim later, too much work. They can't believe anymore Moshe Rabbeinu. They've been working for the last 100, 200, 210 years. They've been very tired for a long time. All of a sudden it gets really bad. What just changed from the last Parsha when they've been working so much? Moshe Rabbeinu comes, we're on board with Moshe Rabbeinu. Next thing you know, too much hard work, they can't hear Moshe Rabbeinu. What happened? What changed? Kasha that many of the commentaries bring up. I'll tell you a few opinions. I'll tell you the pshat that I want to discuss a little bit more, which is Emes Yaakov, Yaakov Kamenetsky's pshat. But first I'll discuss just some basic pshat opinions. The Rashbam explains that Bnei Yisrael believed in Hashem, Moshe Rabbeinu, that the work was going to get easier. Moshe Rabbeinu is coming along right now, and it's going to get easier, and therefore we should be able to resume our lives, go back to our lives of being the Avos, and getting close to God's Baruch Hu, not being anyone's slaves. But instead, it got harder. And when it got harder, they just said, you know, forget about it. You can have a belief in something, and things are going to get better. When they get worse, you might at some point in time just say, you know, off with it. We know what happened. So Moshe Rabbeinu came along and said, we want to go now and give korbanos to Hashem. You have so much time on your hands. You have so much time. You know what? Not only can you not go, but I'm going to stop providing you with all the raw materials to give the bricks. With the bricks itself. You make the bricks out of raw material and still keep the same quota we had earlier on. The work got harder. It got even worse. And therefore, the Rashbam says that's what gave them like the, ugh, I can't do this anymore.
Wait, what was the time differential between?
How much time when he first told them? Right after he asked them to go, next thing we know, the power says, you have so much time on your hands, so you know what? Obviously, you're thinking about things too much. Instead of us giving you bricks, you make your own bricks and still keep the same quota. Right away, that's what happened. And they basically, right away after that happened, they said, okay, they couldn't hear Moshe Rabbeinu now. They were very, very frustrated with what took place. The Sforno and the Ramban are very different, similar shot to each other, but not to the Rashbam. It says they worked so hard, maybe for this, we'll see why they worked so hard, why it's different now. They got worked so hard that they didn't have the mental energy to think about life anymore. Meaning, they had dreams, they had hopes, they had wishes, but then at some point in time, it all changed. The change right now is so much hard work. We'll see what the hard work was in a minute. It was so much hard work. That hard work, good, you're good. That hard work is what changed. Now, what came, again, when a person is in life, you're busy in life, and things going on in your life, so sometimes you can't focus on anything else. You're so distracted. You're so busy with what's happening around you that you can't think about life. In this, we live in a world right now when so many people are so busy with their daily routine, their lives, their jobs, so much going on, their sport teams that they follow, their movies they want to watch, the TV shows, there's so much going on, there's no room left for me to think about what it means to be redeemed, to be a free man, to be with God. There's no room left. But Israel had so much going on that they had no time left to think. Now what changed? There's a wild matter that's brought down in Shmos Rabbah. It says, Moshe Rabbeinu came to Paro and said to him the following thing. You want the best out of your workers, you have to have a day off. They need a day off. You have to give them a chance to kind of, like, you know, people who work out, but people who work out, they need breaks between workouts. You can't work out too much, the same part of your body, you'll overdo it, it'll be too much for you. They need breaks. Moshe Rabbeinu said to Paro, give them a day off a week. You know, give them Saturday off. And Paro agreed to it. Moshe gives power to give them Shabbos off. And on Shabbos, they used to rest and they used to read what we call today Mizmor Shir LeYom HaShabbos. This is according to the Medrash. The Emes Yaakov recognizes that he now explains, look at the Mizrach of Shabbos, you will not find anything about Shabbos there. It doesn't talk about Shabbos at all. It talks about Tzadik Ralo. Talks about things that like why do bad things happen to good people? Someone talks about why is that Mizrach of Shabbos? Because that's what the Jews read at the Medrash in Mitzrayim. They were off on Saturday. They would learn the Perek of Tehillim. And the Rebbe Basra says Moshe Rabbeinu wrote this Perek of Tehillim. It says, you know, when it doesn't matter, wrote Tehillim in general. But a few paragraphs we say other people wrote. Moshe Rabbeinu wrote this Perek of Tehillim. Mizrach of Yom HaShabbos. And they would read it on Saturday in Mitzrayim on their day off from work. And they would sit and they would read about how bad things will happen to bad people eventually. Hashem will redeem us. Things will be okay. And they used to have like spiritual revival every single Saturday. They go back to work on Sunday again, but they know, oh, Hashem's going to take care of business at some point in time. That's what would happen. And then, after that happened, and they start to ask to go free, and Paro says, go free? You might have too much time on your hands. You're thinking too much. You lose your job. You lose your Saturday day off. You're back to work now. And then they got all depressed. So much work. Mikotze Ruach, says the Ramban. Avodah Kasha, says the Sforno. They had no time to think anymore. And they couldn't believe any message anymore. The belief system was over. We live in a world when we are very busy. There is lots going on around us. Those of us who are in college, so college is going around us. Those of us who are in yeshiva, so whatever we have in our phones and our social lives going on around us. There's a lot going on around us. When we get older, it doesn't get less. It gets only more. You have a family, Mr. Shem, at the right time. You have a wife. There's so much going on around you. And it's very easy to get lost and miss out on what you're supposed to be thinking about. Klal Yisrael had a day off. They had a Saturday. Most of our Saturdays, our Shabbos, we don't sit, at least not in high school, we didn't sit pondering Kadosh Baruch Hu, learning. And, you know, for me, when I was doing a Saturday, for me, it was like, I would, you know, read Sports Illustrated, catch up on, you know, some sleep probably. I didn't open a Sefer up at all. It wasn't like God pondering. It wasn't, that was Sundays. No, I'm kidding. It wasn't any day. But it definitely wasn't Saturday. And that's why we live in a world today when people are just lost. There's no pondering and thinking and learning about Hashem. None. It was a Saturday planned in Mitzrayim and then it stopped. And then we lose sight of the world. You forget what you're doing here. What are we doing here? Why did God put us here? So we can make money, to put our kids through education, and then we get older and we can't make money anymore, then our kids help us out, and then we die? What's it for? What in the world? What's this cycle of events that we're living here for? What's it for? And we don't think about it because we're just busy. We're so busy. So much going on. And then if you have a chance to just take a step back and you have a Shabbos, or you say, we say something in Leaning, say in Kriyas Torah, we say make a bracha. We say, Chai Olam Nata Besochinam. You gave us, we make a bracha about the Torah, you gave us a Chai Olam. You gave me a real world. The real world you placed inside of me, you gave me a Torah. We're right now at a very crucial part of the year, smack in the middle of the year right now. And there are many of you who are like, ugh, like it's Torah, like so much learning. I need a break. I'm not connecting to it. What keeps you connected to the reality of the world, what you're supposed to be doing in the world, in your existence, is Torah. Chai olam natza b'sochein. You implanted in us real life. You gave us the Torah. It's real life. Everything else is not real life. What we do, we have to do those things. We're human beings. We need to eat. We need to do certain things. We have to make a living. We have to have money. We have to create. But life is about what the Torah's values are. That's what life is. And when people who are Jewish Orthodox people spend their lives cutting corners to make more money, breaking Torah law to make more money, or stepping up somebody else to put themselves up afterwards, you're not living. That's not Chai Olam. It's not what you're here for, but we're so busy we can't focus. There's too much going on. There's too many stocks and coins to invest in, too many jobs and things I want to get done, too many teams to follow, too many shows to watch. And how about the Chai Olam? Well, it's right here, but the problem is that I don't want to learn this. You know why? Because I'd rather watch my show. I'd rather follow my stock and watch my sports team. And the Chai Olam, that's not the Pesachin, that's placed inside of you, is lost. You're just like everybody else in the world. And that's what happened in Mitzrayim. They couldn't hear Moshe Rabbeinu anymore because they got lost. Because it's just too much work to do. They couldn't think anymore. And yet, we're not trying to find time. We're trying to find more. How can I get even busier? How can I even, you know, I want to get a promotion so I can even be more busy at work. For what? So you barely see your children? So you barely see your family? You make money for them? You're on call all the time? Where does your family come in? Where does the Kodesh Baruch come in? There's no room. It's me avodah kasha, me kodesh ruach. I don't have room for them anymore. There's no time for them. I can't think about anything anymore. And we're lost. Learning Torah brings you back. Not davening, davening also, but learning Torah brings you back. Learning Torah is so focused on. I was speaking to someone yesterday, the other day. He said, why is learning Torah so important? I said to him the following thing. Look at every single gadol in the world. Pick whatever world you're talking about. Any gadol of Judaism in the world. Who there is not a Talmud Chacham and learn Torah all the time? Which of those people that are gadol and that people seek their counsel for? In every area of Judaism. I don't care if it's Haredi, Dati Lumi, every type of Jew who is an inspiring figure. Who's asked questions as a guide. Who does not have Torah as their anchor? They all do. Torah is the anchor, the Chai Olam. If you don't have it in your life, that means you are, in theory, you're a wandering Jew. You're wandering. Doesn't mean you can't have a job. Doesn't mean you go to kolel. It means you have the opportunity to anchor yourself into Kadosh Baruch Hu. Chai Olam is not the Besochenu. The very first pasuk we have, and I'll just close up with this idea. It says, Vayedaber Elokim Moshe v'yomer elav ani Hashem. Vayedaber Elokim Moshe v'yomer elav ani Hashem. Vayedaber Elokim v'yomer Hashem. Why did he talk to us twice? Vayedaber Elokim v'yomer Hashem. What happened? Why is Hashem speaking to us? What's Vayedaber? What's Vayomer? What Elokim? What's Hashem? And even Unklus. Unklus is over here. It says, say again. The very first parak vav pasuk beis vayidaber Elokim el Moshe vayomer elav ani Hashem vayidaber. Just say what he says. Then vayomer afterwards, and the uncle says umalil Hashem im Moshe v'amar lei ana Hashem im vayidaber is im Moshe and vayomer is le Moshe. What exactly is happening over here? So I'll tell you a wild shot. Actually, I found this in a sefer that the rav of the sefer is coming tonight to Mishmar probably. Rav Avram Shor is his name. He wrote this piece about to tell you over right now. This idea. I hope he doesn't say it to you tonight because I'm going to ruin it in advance. But it's his Torah, Rav Shor, through Alekav Alibuv. It's the following Chiddush. He says, the world was created with 10 statements. It says, Vayomer Elokim Yor, Vayomer 10 times in Bereishis. The Esther Ma'amaros, the Mishnah of Avos says, Esther Ma'amaros, the world was created in. We then had the Esther Makos that turned into the Esther Dibros, Aseret Dibros. Again, the world was created with 10 Ma'amaros. But the 10 Vayomers, but then 10 Makos turned it into 10 Dibros. Okay, that's a very cute number 10, but what does that mean? Vayomer is when you speak to somebody. Vayomer is a gentle talk. Shem Hashem Yud Kei Vav Kei is Rachman. It's a sweet, sweet talk. Sweet talk, talk nicely, talk gently, talk with love. And you talk to somebody. But you know what they can do if they want to? They can just turn their back and walk away from you. When God created the world, He did so in a way where you could choose not to see Him. There's nature. After the word, when the Torah starts off, Bereishis Bara Elokim, the gematria of Elokim is the gematria of Hateva, the nature. Elokim, to the words of Elokim, turn around a little bit. He says, you can find the word Mi'ela. Who is it? Who's there? You can not see God if you choose to in creation of the world. By Yomer, you can find natural explanations for everything in the world. We'll see next week. Actually, we'll go to Discovery. You hear Gerald Schroeder tell you the Big Bang Theory, how it's not Stam a Big Bang. It's because Baruch Hu made the Big Bang. He'll tell you how it's found. But you can choose not to see it if you want to. You can find explanation for anything that you want. That's Vayomer. Vayidaber? It's harsh. Din. He speaks with you. You can't walk away. I'm speaking with you right now. Not to you. With you. When you have 10 Mamaros, which let you see the world however you want to see, but then you have 10 Makos. And Hashem says, game's over. I'm here. I exist. So then we have 10 Dibros left. Vayidaber means we can't turn away anymore. It's as clear as day. Because Baruch Hu is as evident as anything, as our friend. We live in a time right now that's such a thing of the past. That we have 10 Dibros that we have on our own. We have like the list of them. There's two tablets and we see the 5 and 5. It's all we got with the Dibros. We don't have the feeling of Vayidaber. I do what I want to do. I'll decide when I want to do things. There's no feeling of like, Chai Olam Atav HaZocheinu, that Hashem is part of who I am. You are part of me, God. I can't function without you. There's no feeling that anymore. At least not for many people. You choose when you want to do what you want to do. You don't want to do it. It's really your religion. It's about you. It's not about God. I don't feel connected to that, so I'm not going to do that at all. Can you imagine being married and telling your wife, nah, I don't feel connected to the garbage right now. I'm not going to take the garbage out. You take the garbage out. I'm not really feeling the kid in the middle of the night thing, 3 in the morning. You get the kid. I'm not feeling it right now. What? When you're a partner with somebody else, you have responsibility. It's not about feeling it. It's a responsibility. You have to follow through. That was why Yedaber meant you can't, it's no longer a world anymore. I'm just, yeah, you know, maybe I see God, maybe not. It was Mama, she gave us a Torah. It was not, you can't ignore it. It's not the Bisochenu. I don't care if you like it or not. It's just the reality. It's who we are. Something we forget. Something we forget.
How could it be?
What do you mean? Because there are times Hashem let us back then. Well, speak to you, and you can turn it back if you want to. But Yomer, you can turn back. But Vayidaber means he doesn't let you. He talks right to your face. And we can choose whatever world we want to live in. Right now, we're in the world of Vayomer more. We don't look around us, and see, unfortunately, and see God's Baruch Hu, you know, moving mountains for us or giving us manna food, which makes it the best time to find him. Because it means that you're really a mammon. You really have a muna in a Kadosh Baruch Hu by finding him right now. I'll say two last points, and then we'll stop. We say in every day, at least in Israel, we say this. You know, the people who learn Torah are people who build the world. We build the world. You can live in the world, you can build the world. We say, Al tikr banayach el bonayach. Talmud Chacham are called builders. You know why? Because they all have a toolbox. They have a toolbox of ways they can impact the world, affect the world. Get back to us in 1 minute. I want to tell you a quick story that happened this past week. I'm not a big college football fan in general, college football, but there was a wild football game that just happened. And there were three personalities I want to discuss for just a minute of your time. The Alabama Crimson Tide, they won. I don't want to spoil it, anyone's didn't know yet, but they won the college football playoff. They won the whatever it's called, the championship, whatever it's called. They won. The coach Nick Saban made a ridiculously gutsy move in the middle of the game. Okay? His team was losing 13-0. His star quarterback, who had led them to 2 back-to-back championship games, who was 26-2 in his career starting, who last year was voted as the offensive player of the year in one of the best conferences in all football, and he benched him. He benched him for the second half. He put in a freshman who had played, thrown 7 balls all year long, I think, up to that point in time, or maybe it was 9. He put this guy in, who was a freshman, instead of the college football player, you know, who led him to 2 back-to-back championships. Now, to the player's credit, by the way, that player was like the most supportive guy. He supported the backup, and then the backup went on to throw, you know, the pass in Alabama's, you know, the history right now that won the championship. He became famous. He's the most famous guy now in Alabama is this guy on campus. He's a hero.
It was a crazy
throw. Yeah, saw the throw. It was good. It was a good throw. It's a good throw. It's a good throw. I could give a shiur on all three personalities I wanted to, on the backup quarterback who came in and saved the day, on the starter who was so encouraging of the guy who took his place. But I want to talk about Nick Saban for a second. Could you, you know, it's not, it would be, no one would question his decision to stay safe, keep it safe. The guy who's there right now, he's not doing well, but you know what? He's a star of the team. He's one of the leaders of the team. Keep in the game. You lose, no one second guesses you for a second. But if you make the wrong call, bring the backup in, and the guy just bombs, he fails, they're going to question you as a coach. It's such a safer bet to leave things as they are right now. You know what? You lose the game. But at least, you know, you played your best player. To take out the offensive player of the year from last year. What are you thinking? It's the riskiest move. You know why he did it? Because he has a toolbox. And he has certain tools in his toolbox. And he understood that right now, this tool might be the better option. Might be. Now, I'm not gonna just leave it there. Because I happen to think that the best move for me right now is this. Every single coach in the world may not do this, but I will, because I trust in my toolbox. He takes out his backup freshman quarterback, who played only mop-up duty all year round, basically, and he wins the game for his team. Every single person has a toolbox. We have toolbox. As a matter of fact, most men in the world actually have toolboxes. You know, when, for some reason, I don't know why, like ties and toolboxes, you know, it's Father's Day presents. I don't have a toolbox. I don't know why I don't have one, but my son, Yechiel, who's 8 years old, has a toolbox. Someone gave him one time, but I never had one. There are some people with toolboxes and they become professionals. They become carpenters. They become handymen. They fix things. Some people have toolboxes, are very handy, but they're not professionals, but they constantly use it. They build things. They build I'm a bit like my cell phone. You know, if I had one, I would use it once in a while. If I ever needed something to get... You all have toolboxes. Toolbox means you have something in your guts that you pull out when you need to. When you need to. Some people pull out all the time. They're constantly taking open the toolbox and pulling things out that will help them the most. Some things only when they're really desperate. When they really, really, sometimes they need to. Some people can't even find the toolbox. They don't know where they put it even. It's lost. How many, this year right now is one of the most important years for putting tools in your toolbox. It's the most important year. You learn about yourself. You learn about how to learn. So when you leave, the toolbox of how to learn is in your back pocket. You learn how to function, how to deal with stresses, religious stresses. You learn how to fail, how to pick it up and succeed again. Those are all part of your toolbox. But most of us, when we leave afterwards, not most of us, many of us, we leave afterwards, we put it away. And maybe when we really, really need to, we pull it out again. We don't actively build. When you're here right now, you can add so much to your toolbox. There's so many things you can put in there. And then you can be really gutsy. Because you know really who you are, what you have in store for yourself. You can really be gutsy. You can pull out the backup freshman at the halftime of a championship game and surprise everybody with what you just did. You have it inside your toolbox. But most of us aren't so gutsy. We'll go with the flow. Even though it means we're probably going to lose the game in the end. But you know what? At least I can fit with everybody else. Be like everybody else. I don't have to shake anything up. I'd rather go with the flow. I'll just, you know, continue on the process. No one will blame me. Everything's excusable. It's my culture, my society, it's my family, it's my friends. It's where I come from. What do you expect from me? So Nick Saban threw that all a wrench, no pun intended, the toolbox. He threw it right back at us. Because if you believe in something, then you will shake things up. Then you will not sit back and just have it sitting on the side when you have an item that might make the difference for yourself. This happens to be one of the best times to put things in your toolbox. Do not put a television show in your toolbox. You already have that in your toolbox. And you'll have it later on, I'm sure, in life as well. The chance right now, if you put anything that you want, will get you through life. Chai olam, you can put in your toolbox. Eternity in your toolbox. The ability to connect to God's Baruch Hu through stressful times in your toolbox. And if you waste your time right now, then when the time comes, you don't have the freshman. He went elsewhere. He didn't recruit it well. You suck with your quarterback. He's a good guy. You'll probably lose with him. No one will question you even. No one will question you. But you will know that you did not give what you had to give. We live in a world where it's not Vayedaber. It's not so clear. It's Vayomer. We can turn around if we want. We can turn away if we want. We don't have to do this. No one will blame you for it. No one blames you. But you know better. You know better. And you look yourself in the mirror when the year's over and you either say to yourself, I've got to lug this whole toolbox home with me. Oh gosh, it's so much to bring home. I can't wait to use them. Or has anyone seen, did I leave it somewhere? I can't find that at all. And then it's over. And then it's over. And the alumni who are here, they understand what it means to come back and say, like, I want to add more. I want to refresh. I want to recharge a little bit. They're recharging a battery they already filled up at some point in time. And a lot of them are coming back because they understand what it meant to be in yeshiva. And as generations go on, it's harder and harder every single generation. There's more stuff to do, more things to look at, more things to find, more things outside culturally. It's up to you to decide, this is the year I want to advance my toolbox, I want to contribute to my toolbox, be able to pull my backup freshman out when I need to, and become a true man. Chayel and Tavos Cheno, wish you a great Shabbos. Thank you.